The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Okay, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is indisposed at the moment.
I'm afraid he's been having GI problems and uncomfortable bloating.
But I'm sure he'll be out in a jiff.
Oh, here he is now.
Looking pale and shaken. Oh, you okay, little buddy?
The Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey, folks. This hour on the Eric Metaxas Show, a special edition, Socrates in the City with Mark Helprin. This is the second part of my interview with him.
I've been criticized so often these days, they say, he uses such big words, you know, and I don't. I mainly keep to Anglo-Saxon vocabulary, but they say the sentences are too long, the descriptions are too, there's too much description. People have been trained to inhale nihilism. There's a form of nihilism, like the minimalists.
The
minimalists, like Ray Carver.
Carver.
They don't like richness of language. They don't like metaphor. They don't like occult meter.
But there's a reason for that, right? In other words, when you talk about minimalists and nihilism, they are in some ways at war with a past, right? In other words, when you think of a past where all the typefaces had serifs and all the buildings had moldings and whatever, they hate that because it somehow bespeaks a patriarchal Christian Western order that inescapably points to God. And they are trying to carve their own minimalist path out of that. So any hint toward morality or good or evil, it's disturbing. And that's why you must be a great writer just to have snuck so much of this past these watchful dragons.
Well, it's quite easy to fool a publisher at lunch because they drink so much. And also, it does pay to have a business sense. You know, publishers are very slow to pick up on things, and they're not always the brightest bulbs.
Why don't we just say that they're stupid?
They're stupid, yeah.
I mean, of time.
If you're not going to be a lawyer, you're not going to be a doctor, you're not going to be a physicist, you're not going to be an engineer, you're not going to be a businessman where you have to take risks and actually see what's going to happen in the future and do all kinds of finance stuff. And so what do? You go into publishing. That used to be
horrified. Many publishing friends are here. Don't leave, friends. Yeah. Don't leave. I'll defend you in 5 minutes as soon as we... But this is you're being serious, right? In other words, you're saying that you were aware of this going into writing fiction, that you're bringing something into it that you have to disguise?
Well, no, I wasn't aware in the beginning because I'm old enough so that I started when the terms were different. I started in 1964. I went to Harper and Row and met a woman there named Joan Kahn, who was a great fiction editor, and started to submit to her, and they were, you know, they would get back to me.
You were what, 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, because my parents didn't read to me. That's why I said earlier that I hadn't read Charlotte's Web. I hadn't read many children's books.
Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a room on Central Park West that had a black linoleum floor. There were no toys in it and no books. And that's where I stayed most of the time.
It sounds like a Skinner box.
Well, it was solitary confinement. And because they were gone. My father lived in England for 6 months of the year. My mother was an actress. She was always on the road. And I was kept in that room, and that's where I learned to be. For instance, when I go to Europe, I can sit and watch a fountain for 8 hours, 17 hours. I can do that. I don't mind. I like it. When I got to first grade, and it was at the Birch Wathen School, which in those days was on the west side, I was the only kid who didn't know how to read. They all had been pushed by their parents, who were all Jews in the movie business. And they wanted, it's like the kids now who are tutored to get into fancy kindergartens so they can go to Harvard eventually. They were pushed by their parents. And they came in limousines, et cetera. And I didn't know the alphabet. So I remember I walked in, Mrs. Smith was my teacher. And she said, go to the desk with your name on it. And I said, I can't read. And she said, okay, well, what is your name? I told her my name. She said, find the M. And I said, what's an M? And all the kids laughed at me. Ha ha, right? So I was really pissed by that.
You made a monkey out of those kids, huh?
Yeah, I was really pissed. And by second grade, I was reading beyond 12th grade level.
Out of sheer spite.
Out of sheer spite, yeah. And in third grade, I began dictating stories to my third grade teacher who would write them in longhand. And then Simon & Schuster offered me a 2-book contract in third grade to write a biography of Abraham Lincoln and a children's...
Wouldn't you love to know what a third grader's biography of Abraham... I'd pay for that.
Yeah. Well, they thought it was going to be in golden books. And a children's story about a mouse, which would have been essentially copped from Stuart Little. But
right, right.
My father said no because my mother had been a child star. And he said, look what it did to her. So I'm not going to let you do this.
Look what it did to her.
Yeah. Oh, it did to her, but believe me. But what was the question?
What's capital of North Dakota?
Bismarck.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Pierre, South Dakota.
But wait a minute. So you were, you're leading up actually to a question I want to ask, but you were talking about how you were raised in a room with black linoleum and how you really were not, you were left to yourself.
Yeah,
effectively.
Yeah.
And do you now, you seem very cheerful. It doesn't strike me that you're thinking of this as neglect or something that you, or maybe it was neglect, but you simply aren't bitter about it. But it sounds like neglect, no?
No, it wasn't neglect.
What was it?
It was neglect.
Yeah.
But in the best sense of neglect. But my parents, I love my parents. And in fact, I was crazy because, I spent most of my life, while my father was alive, I can see why they did this, because they probably knew what was coming. I spent most of my life tailing my father, asking him questions about his life. So I feel, and I really do, as if I were born in 1904, because I have spent tens of thousands of hours listening to every detail of his life. And he had a photographic memory. He was famous for it. Someone could say to him, for example, when was the last time you were on 26th Street between 3rd and 4th Avenue? And he would say, it was in, this would be in the 1950s, he would say it was December 17th, 1936. And they would say, describe it. And he could tell you everything that was in the store windows, the cracks in the side, everything. He had a complete photographic memory. So I trailed him, beginning when I was very little, asking him questions about starting from his earliest memories, and he lived a very adventurous, interesting life. So essentially, that's why probably they put me in the room with the linoleum, because they knew that I'd be pestering them.
Right, and he needed to catch a break, and that was the only way he could get away from you. Well, it's interesting. This brings up another quality in your fiction. You don't write, thank the Lord, like most contemporary writers. And I think it's like reading someone from a different generation than you are.
Yeah, and in The Soldier of the Great War, which is about a 74-year-old man, strangely enough, so is Paris. He's also 74. Right. I wrote A Soldier of the Great War beginning in 1980, when I was, 33. And I've always felt like a much older person, because I've sort of absorbed my father's age. And I also, I started in a different time. And I'm a throwback to a different time. And I never succumbed to the pressure to conform to this time. And, you know, and you shouldn't ever do anything that you would lose sleep over or that you'd feel bad about.
But where were all your shoulders when we cried?
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price-competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Well, let me ask you, you know, when you you obviously came of age in the 60s.
Yeah.
You graduated Harvard in 69?
69.
Okay,
well,
so...
Well, it graduated me.
Who cares? From Harvard. The question is, you know, you ought to be, you're the classic boomer. You're supposed to fit into that mold, and you obviously don't. You don't strike people as somebody who would have been a hippie at that time or that kind of a person. And not only that, but then you joined the Israeli, is it Air Force?
Army, infantry, and then Air Force. I was seconded to the Air Force as an infantryman.
Is seconded how they say it in the West Indies?
No, that's how they say it. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so my question is, why did you do that? Because that seems like exactly the kind of thing pot smoking draft dodgers of your generation would not do, right? It's really very countercultural and strikingly.
Well, I was swimming in the Harvard Sea, which, and by the way, when I was 17, I was going through Greece, and I met a guy whose name was Alpert, who was a Harvard assistant. Maybe he was a graduate student then, but I think he was an assistant professor, the lowest rank of a professor. And he and I walked across the Peloponnesus, and we slept in barns, and we ate in people's houses, in goat's milk and that kind of stuff.
How old were you?
17. And he turned out to be Robert Alpert, otherwise known as Baba Ramdas, as I call him.
Okay, for those who don't know who that is, this is one of the leading gurus of the New Age movement, invented New Age in America.
And when he was an associate of Timothy Leary, and they developed LSD. So when I was a freshman, I was put in a place called Pennypacker, which was a sort of a modern building. It wasn't in the yard. It was a sort of exiled. That was the worst possible place you could be. And Alpert lived on Harvard Street, which is where Pennypacker was, just a couple of blocks up. So I ran into him, and then I went to see him in his apartment, and he said, "You want to smoke a joint?" I didn't know what it was. I've never tasted coffee in my life. I don't like things like that. And I said, "No, what is it?" He said, "Oh, it's great." I said, "No, I don't want it." He said, "You want some LSD?" And I said, "What is LSD?" And he said, "Well, it's this new thing. You put it on a sugar cube. We invented it, whatever. And I hated the idea of drugs. Even as a freshman, I was different. But I did swim in the political sea. I was very much against the Vietnam War. I gave a speech at West Point to the Corps of Cadets apologizing for not taking my place because although I was against the war, I don't think that I was my own legislature and I should have fulfilled my duties as a citizen. So that speech is in the congressional record. It's been printed all over the place. The reason that happened was I was sitting on the grave of William and Henry James in the Mount Auburn Cemetery. It faces south so that it's sheltered from the northern wind and also the sun shines in the south. I was writing the first story that I published in New Yorker called the first one that was actually published was called Because of the Waters of the Flood, but the first story that I wrote that they bought was called Leaving the Church. And Henry James was there, William James was there. I was sitting on Henry's grave, leaning against the family bedstead grave marker. And a funeral in Cambridge Cemetery, which adjoins Mount Auburn, which is where Mary Baker Eddy is buried and a lot of famous people. But the Cambridge Cemetery is for the proletarians. And a funeral came, and they buried somebody. And then they left, and I went to see who was buried, and it was a boy my age who had been killed in Vietnam. And that really, really struck me. And from that point on, I decided that I wanted to do something of that nature. I had already been 4F, but it was fake. When I took an EEG, I can make electrical pulses in my body that make the needles go whap, 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 whap.
You can do that?
I can do that.
Can you teach others how to do that?
Maybe, but you don't have to worry. You're too old for the draft. I can also, now my wife will have to verify this because no one will believe it. Say what I do about horses.
He makes horses rear if he wants to when he looks them in the eye. And yeah. He can turn lights out under some circumstances, street lights. I don't know what these guys do. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what she says. She's crazy. But so anyway, I had made myself 4F. And I felt very bad about that. So then I went to Israel and joined the army. We were fighting Russians, and we were fighting my cousin.
Wait, why did you do that? In other words, you're obviously ethnically Jewish, but you were not raised in a home that was religiously Jewish. What prompted you at that time to go to Israel and fight?
Two words, never again.
The
Holocaust. And in 1967, which is when I went first, the state was threatened with annihilation, and I just didn't want that to happen. So I wanted to do my piece, and I did. But anyway, I tried to join the Marines too, but I had already been 4F. They wouldn't let me do it.
I want to ask you about. Do you think there's something inherent in Jewishness it's so sloppy even to talk that way, but I guess the moral quality of your fiction, even before I knew that you'd fought in the Israeli army, struck me as coming out of being a Jew, because being a Jew obviously comes with certain experiences, and you often have characters who are, I guess they remind me, I'm always sure that they're autobiographical, and it's they're very romantic. There's a lot of love. It's beautiful love. It's not sexual. That itself is rare, but it struck me that somehow it feels to me like something that I've noticed in other Jewish stories, usually movies. Woody Allen, in some of his best films, has this. It's interesting. He doesn't come out where you do. But it's interesting to me that you're very much of a romantic. Has that been something that you've thought much about, is who you are as a Jew? I mean, you just said never again. So this was something that meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, my father's family came from a little village near Minsk called Koidniev. And when we lived in upstate New York, we had a farm in Kinderhook, New York, a huge farm. And it was 32, on September 1st, when we took the kids to school for the first time, there was snow on the ground. September 1st. And that winter, it was 32 below. The pool fence was covered by the early October, and we didn't see it again until May. I mean, it was a hell of a winter. But anyway, at the edge of our farm, far away, was a auto repair shop. And in the auto repair shop, which was really miserable, freezing cold and dirty with oil, et cetera, they had people working on cars, but it was a sort of like a very primitive type thing. And I went down there once to talk about our car. And I was wearing boots and gray pants and a gray 6040, and I had a gray Stetson, and I had my pistol on, and I had a giant dog who was a Bernese Mountain Dog named Constance. And I walked into this place, and one of the mechanics reared back. He almost threw himself against the wall because he was terrified, because he thought I was a state cop, and he was frightened of cops. Why, he was a Russian, and he didn't have teeth. And his name was Igor, and it turns out he was a Jew from the area. And I said to him, My family came from Koidnev. Do you know it? He said, oh, he said, it's just a stone. I said, the stone? And he meant, you know, like a gravestone. And it turns out that the Einsatzgruppen, the special group, the Germans, they would get trucks, put people in the trucks, and then put the exhaust back into the trucks, drive to a pit where they would just throw all the dead people. And they killed every single person in the village. And these were all my relatives. We were lucky. My family escaped. We came here in 1870. That doesn't leave you. You know, in the Second World War, we had 32 people who served, one of whom, my cousin Robert, died in his fighter plane. My father volunteered at age, when he went into the OSS stuff, when he was 36. He was past draft age. And so I felt the same way. And I feel the same way about America, too. I mean, if America were threatened now, I would volunteer. Oh, 71, they're not going to take me. But I do serve, actually, now in an armed capacity. I'll be retiring in 2 years. It's a rain.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is voicing optimism that some sort of firearms background check measure will be instituted following the recent mass shootings in Texas and Ohio. Walmart has announced it is taking down all signs and displays from its stores that depict violence following the mass shooting. The president says he's received a personal letter from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president downplayed North Korea's recent missile tests and says he expects there will be more talks aimed at resolving the standoff over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. The manhunt is on now for a Tennessee escaped inmate described as extremely dangerous. 44-year-old Curtis Ray Watson escaped from a prison just north of Memphis. There is a $52,000 reward for information leading to his capture. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 8 points. This is SRN News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-620-8844. That's 800-620-8844. 800-620-8844.
Hey folks, it's Eric Metaxas. I got to tell you, MyPillow.com, one of the biggest sponsors we've ever had on this program, probably the biggest, they have a special deal for you if you listen to this program. And you can tell your friends even if they don't listen to this program. If you put in the code Eric or Metaxas right now, this is a limited time offer, as they say, you can get a 2-pack of MyPillow's premium pillows for the lowest price that's ever been offered on radio or TV, okay? This is like breaking news. It ends up being $34.99 per pillow. These are the premium pillows, only available at MyPillow.com, or if you call 800-978-3057, you have to use the promo code Eric or Metaxas. You know these pillows are different than any other pillows. It's why we rave about them. They come with a 10-year warranty. Whoever heard of that? People rave and rave about them, but the 2-pack, lowest price ever, MyPillow.com. Use the code.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. just can't remember.
Time flies when you're having fun, so we don't have a lot of time left. I wanted to ask you to tell the story of hanging out with John Cheever as a kid. You have such a storied life that it makes your fiction seem almost dull. And your fiction is not even close to dull. But you really do have, and you're aware of that, having an outrageously storied life and met the kind of people when you were already a kid that most people don't get to meet in their lifetimes.
Winston Churchill.
You met Churchill?
Yeah, when I was very little at Lake Annecy in, I think it was 1951 or whatever. My father, who had worked for him in the war, we were in Annecy too, and my father was taking something to him from Alexander Korda, who was my father's business partner. And I rode on my father's leg, and we waited in an anteroom with a stone floor with a lot of other men, most of whom were British, in suits. And then the doors opened, and Winston Churchill came out. And I was still riding in my father's, standing on his shoes and holding onto his leg. But about Cheever? I can tell you about Cheever.
Yeah, quickly, because I want to ask you about Winter's Tale. This is okay. Ridiculous. Go ahead.
Actually, it turns out that Theodore Roosevelt invented this thing called straight lining. At Sagamore Hill, he would have his kids go in a straight line no matter what, climb over a wall, crawl through a swamp or whatever. I didn't know this, but I invented it for myself when I lived in Eagle Bay, which was in Austin, with about 1,000, 2,000 acres of more or less forest. And I had the idea just independently that I would go in a straight line. So one day...
You know you're nuts, right?
Yeah. I was walking to school. I used to walk 5 miles to school and 5 miles back. And later, I had actually...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That it was 5 miles there and 5 miles back.
And the funny thing
was... What are
the
odds of that? It's amazing.
Sometimes it wasn't.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Because I would take a different route.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I meant was that I would not only walk to school, but also back.
Right.
And one day I was running a little late, and John Cheever came by in his Nash Rambler, the color of Pepto-Bismol. And he opened the door and said, "Marco," because my name was Marco then. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm walking to school." He said, "Well, you'll be late." And I said, "Would you like a ride?" So I said, "Okay." So I got in the car, and we rode to school. Because he had lived in the garage above the garage on the school grounds with his family.
Now, did you know at the time that he was a famous writer?
Yeah, we all knew. His kids went to the same school, and people knew he was deathly poor at the time. And my parents knew. They were friends with him. So I got in the car, and he said, "Why do you walk?" And I was telling him. And I told him about straight lining. The next thing I know, there was this story called The Swimmer about Burt Lancaster, who did a straight line. But that's okay. I mean, people borrow.
In all seriousness, your conversation with Cheever influenced him to write The Swimmer.
Yes, for sure. And so
hold it right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest short stories of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And the fact that you may have had something to do with it, apart from writing, is really something.
I bet if Susie and Benji knew about this, they would probably attack me and say, "Oh, it's not true," but it is true.
Well, in the story, and I remember Cheever better than I remember your fiction, he talks about taking a dog leg at some point.
Oh, I never read the story.
So you're a liar.
I've never read any.
There's
of
another
it.
Story about when
they
he
wrote.
Talks,
he wrote a book about my family called Bullet Park. We lived in Brayton Park, and when Martin Luther King was killed, there were riots in Ossining, and they were burning down the stores and stuff, and people attacking people's houses. So my father and I went, and we bought ammunition, and then Mary and John Cheever and Howard, the guy who played Benjamin Franklin in 1776. Howard DeSilva came to brunch, and they said, this was the time when these riots going on. And we said, "Yeah, we bought ammunition." And the Cheever said, "You what?" And we said, "We bought ammunition." He said, "Why?" "In case people come to try to burn our house down." And they said, "You would shoot people who were going to kill you?" And the answer was, "Yeah." And at that, and Howard Da Silva, who was an old communist, my mother was a communist in the 30s too, so she knew a lot of communists. That's why he was there. He was just horrified that we would defend ourselves. So were the Cheevers.
Hey, folks, if you've been listening to the news, reading the papers, it is no secret there's a food crisis in Central America. It generates headlines every day. I am now partnering on this program with Food for the Poor to help save the lives of displaced children and their families from Venezuela, who, by the way, are now trapped in Colombia with nothing to eat. You can't imagine, folks. They need our help. We want to rush life-saving food and emergency relief to these kids. I just want to say go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please do something. Anything you do, we always say this, just go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and give. Here's the phone number. You can call it right now. Please call it 844-863-HOPE. You'll feel better if you do something good. Doesn't matter what it is. Do something good. You'll feel better, and it's the right thing to do. These folks need our help. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Now for years I've been telling you about the 3-week quick start pack that you can get from Relief Factor for under $20, that it's the smart way to go if you're struggling with back and neck pain or shoulder, hip, or knee pain. In fact, I've told you that about 70% of the people who order the 3-week quick start pack go on to order more. But why is it that the 30% don't go on to order more? Well, when Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, surveyed that 30%, many of them admitted that they never gave it a legitimate try. They maybe took one packet a day for a few days and then skipped a day or two, or they didn't do what the doctors who created it recommended, which is 3 packets a day for a full week and then 2 packets a day for the next 2 weeks. That's the 3-week quick start. So when you order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95, tell yourself you'll do what the doctors have recommended. Let's make sure you're happy and in the 70% that is in less or no pain at all. I am in that group. Folks, this stuff can be at your house in just 2 to 3 days. Go to ReliefFactor.com. I do recommend it. I do use it. ReliefFactor.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max. A patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word GUTS to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text GUTS to 60-60-60. Text GUTS to 60-60-60.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me.
I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
I got to get to the red meat, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that is that when I published my first book, which is called The Dove of the East, it was published by Knopf, and I had a lot of stories from The New Yorker in it. I was quite young, and I came home from New York after having an editorial conference with Rachel McKenzie, who was a New Yorker, one great New Yorker editor. And I was on the train. I was reading Carlos Baker's biography of Hemingway. I thought that would be my life. You know, it was in the old days. I thought things were going to be different. And I got home and I took off my suit. I think it was this one. And I saw John Cheever out by the pool because they didn't have a pool. And
this had to be 1978?
No, it was 1975. 74. It was 1974. He was sitting by the pool, so I figured, well, hey, I have the same publisher. He knows I published in The New Yorker. If he reviews it, it'll go on the front page of the New York Times Book Review, my first book. So I went down to him, and I said, hi, John. And I mixed this up with when I went down, and he had written...
The Faulkner.
Faulkner.
Yeah.
Which he pronounces Faulkner. I called it Falconer, being, right. You know, a prole. And he said, hi, Mark. And I said, hi. And he said, right off the bat, he said, you know, Faulkner was so-and-so and so-and-so. Saying something good. Won the National Book Award.
National Book Award. You told him that Faulkner...
No, I remember. He said something about it. And then I said... Big deal. Faulkner won the Nobel Prize.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because I thought he was saying Faulkner. He's saying Falconer.
We have to slow this down because people may be missing. This is very funny. Yeah. John Cheever, who spoke with this plummy South Shore Boston accent, pronounced his book, Falconer.
Faulkner.
So when he said that,
Faulkner,
you thought
won
he was talking about William Faulkner.
And he said Faulkner was, you know, made the Faulkner
something
won the
special,
something prize.
And you said, yeah. Big deal.
Said,
Faulkner
big deal.
Won it, the Nobel
Faulkner
Prize.
Faulkner won the Nobel Prize. And he went like this. For a second, you know. It was summer. It was June. It was before Nobel Prize season, but he still went like that, thinking, "Oh, it did," you know.
And that was later in the '70s.
Yeah, that
because
was.
Faulkner
I guess I
came out at right.
Yeah,
okay,
I confused them, Craig Claiborne said to me once at dinner at his house. He said, "Mark," he spoke like this. He said, "Is John Cheever gay?" And I said, oh, no. He said, because he understands about homosexual love. And I said, well, I've known him since I was a child. He's not gay. See, it shows what I knew. I didn't even know what gay was until I was in after college. But so anyway, I go down to the in a different time and I say, you know, I have a book out. Could you review it for the Times? thinking, you know, this is going to be it. And he said, well, Mark, he said, actually, Saul and I are coming out with books this fall, and we've pledged not to review any other books. And I felt at that moment both, A, really angry that he wasn't going to do this for me. And I had known him all my life, and I'd given him the idea for The Swimmer, which was his big thing. And also ashamed that I wanted to be in that system of back-scratching that I was angry about. And I decided right then, at that moment, I would never write a blurb for anybody. I would never ask anybody for a blurb. I would never serve on a prize jury. I would never go to Yaddo or anything like that. I would never have anything to do with any writers whatsoever. That is for fiction. I do sometimes review nonfiction books, but for fiction, which is what I do. And I've kept that promise. You'll never see a blurb from me.
Out of sheer spite.
Out of shame. For wanting to be in that unfair system,
right,
where you know,
right,
somebody or whatever. And by the way, I was riding in the elevator at Knopf when Toni Morrison got in the elevator with the director of publicity. And this is what before Song of Solomon came out. And I had Refiner's Fire coming out in the same list. And the director of publicity didn't know me from anything, you know, nothing. She didn't recognize me. And she said to Toni Morrison, who was an editor at Random House at the time, she said, I want you to know, everybody, shh, shh, I want you to know that we just had the editorial meeting, and Bob, meaning Bob Gottlieb, has decided that we're going to concentrate everything on your book. Your book is going to be... So I'm sitting there, my book is going to be in the same list. And I said, okay, all right, that's life.
Yeah.
And once we had dinner at a Japanese restaurant in Nyack, and we were sitting next to near Toni Morrison, and she didn't recognize me, just like us in the elevator, but I knew who she was, and she was just bitching. She has about 300 honorary degrees, Nobel Prize, et cetera, et cetera. And I was saying, she doesn't have much to complain about.
Well, I always knew I didn't like Bob Gottlieb, so thank you for giving me evidence.
I didn't like Bob Gottlieb either.
I wanted to end on a sour note, and I think we've achieved that. Mark... really, it's so much fun to talk to you. I knew that it would be an outrage to have to limit it to an hour, so we're going to find a way to haul you back up here. Maybe next time you won't have to drive. But there's so much more I want to talk to you about, and maybe we can do it another time, but it has been a magnificent joy and honor for me to do this, so Socrates in the City crowd, maybe once again, you can thank our special guest, Mark Helprin. Mark, thank you.
Backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Hi, I'm Milo Ventimiglia.
And I'm Amanda Seyfried.
Now, meet the dog who will show the world how to be human.
Set me free.
Enzo is more than just a dog. He is an old soul.
He's a spiritual being.
I think audiences are going to pick up the importance of family, the focusing on those things that are giving back to you in life.
The most emotional things are the things that stay with you and teach you you can get through anything.
Call it fate, call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be their dog.
Set me free.
The Art of Racing in the Rain. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A GOP lawmaker says it's unlikely the Senate will agree to more strenuous background checks for gun buyers.
You could say that Senator John Barrasso is raising a red flag about red flag laws. The Wyoming Republican told reporters, quote, "I want to make sure we protect our constitutional rights, and whatever comes up will actually help solve a problem." Some GOP senators are pushing for red flag laws in the wake of the recent mass shootings, but despite the recent headlines, Barrasso predicts nothing much has changed in the Senate, where similar efforts have repeatedly fallen short. Bob Agnew reporting.
Meanwhile, President Trump is voicing optimism that some sort of firearms background check measure can be signed into law. The manhunt on in Tennessee for an escaped inmate described as extremely dangerous, 44-year-old Curtis Ray Watson, escaped from a prison just north of Memphis. There is a $52,000 reward for information leading to his capture. On Wall Street, the Dow down 45 points. This is SRN News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-384-9393. That's 800-384-9393. 800-384-9393.
Hey there, folks. That's Cheap Trick. And I'm Eric, and you're Albin.
No, nothing cheap here. Nothing cheap.
No. We want to remind our listeners a couple things. First of all, we haven't mentioned MyPillow in a while.
No, we haven't.
If you order anything from MyPillow.com, anything, I don't care what it is, it could be a submarine sandwich, you need to use the code Eric if you want to get our huge discount. All other codes are probably Democrat codes that are benefiting Pelosi and AOC. You do not want.
Hey, no probably about I researched this.
Okay, okay. It's right there. It's all
right
scientific.
There, right there. I have it
so
right
you
got
to put in the code Eric.
Eric.
And then you get our huge discount along with the Giza sheets and all the luxurious stuff.
Mattress topper. My wife and I love the mattress
topper. I like
topper.
The way you pronounce it. You got that Pittsburgh accent. Topper. Mattress topper.
All right.
Topper. I like it.
I know.
It.
But okay. But Pittsburghers, start using the code. Eric.
Topper.
And say topper.
Actually, we have the mattress topper too, and it's luxurious. It's the kind of thing that makes you never want to get out of bed, never want to do anything, never amount to anything.
But I have to
come
to
work. It's worse than cannabis. You'll never, ever accomplish anything once you get that mattress topper. But it's fun while it lasts. Okay, folks, I also want to tell you that with all the wickedness happening, I mean, when I hear about these shootings this weekend, it was just so. I mean, there's just nothing to say. You just want to weep. It's so evil, and I don't care about the details. The fact is that this is satanic evil. When you're murdering innocent people, it's unheard of. And I always say we need to combat it by doing good, repenting of our sins, praying, fasting, sharing the good news of Jesus with your neighbor, loving somebody, giving somebody something. And I say that, you know, there's a million ways you can do that. One of the ways you can do it through this program, we've affiliated ourselves with Food for the Poor. They're a great organization. If you're looking for a great organization that's doing great things and helping people, right now they're helping people in Central America, displaced children and families from Venezuela. You can imagine the chaos down there. There's no food. They are on the ground, okay, to help in this crisis. And if you go to our website, metaxastalk.com, you will see how you can give. I was going to say that anything that you give, this is feeding hungry children. This is feeding families that are really struggling. So you're doing great work when you do this. I just want to say to you, there's just no doubt about it. Food for the Poor, they're the real deal, okay? So if you're ever looking for an organization to help out, we've done business with them in the past, and they are just, you know, they're the gold standard. But I want to say that we want to thank you if you give. So anybody who gives anything to Food for the Poor, whatever you give, you get a chance to win our super grand prize. At the end of this month, we're going to announce the winner of this grand prize. And it's three signed copies of Donald Builds the Wall, three signed copies of Donald Drains the Swamp, and a signed copy of just about every one of my books. You can use this for a school auction or something, or, you know, you can do whatever you want with it. But signed copy of Bonhoeffer, If You Can Keep It, Miracles, Seven Men, Seven Women. I think I said Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther, Amazing Grace, all those books.
You'll keep
it's
your
grand,
reading.
It's a grand prize.
Reading for a week. You'll be reading for a week.
And and you get a chance. Anything you give, you go to MetaxasTalk.com. And by the way, if you give $200, for every $50, you get another chance to win. So there you'd get four, right? So anybody gives $500, you get 10 chances to win, just so you understand. By the way, anybody who gives $500, you get to visit us here in our beautiful TBN studios. Whenever you get to New York, you can bring your friends or whatever. And anybody who can give $10,000, you're going to be feeding a lot of kids, doing great work, and we want to have dinner with you and celebrate that with you. So, folks, go to Food for the Poor right on our website, MetaxasTalk.com. And by the way, if you have a phone number, let me give you a phone number, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Do it today. They need our help, 844-863-HOPE. Portions of today's program are sponsored by Food for the Poor.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.